Welcome to Finally Alive Radio with pastoral counselor Gary Harris. To find out more, please go to finallyaliveradio.com.
All right, let's go to Acts 2. We're taking our time here, attempting to look at this verse by verse here. We saw Acts 1, Luke, right, with Theophilus. He tells us about the end of the gospel, right? He tells you the last part, which is, hey, stay and wait, don't leave. Talking to the disciples, right? You stay there, you wait. What are you waiting for? For the Holy Spirit, all right? You've got to wait for this. Without that, it's worthless. You can't go anywhere without it. You need the Holy Spirit. And so they're waiting. That's Acts 1. And what do they receive? They receive power, right? What is the power for? We talked about this, I think briefly or not. But what is the power for? For miracles? No. What? Someone said something. Witness. It's a witness. Yes. Yes. This is how you're able to spread this gospel. All right, you must be empowered. Okay, it's not for the sake of miracles, though miracles will happen. Even with Jesus, signs and wonders, that wasn't the point, right? That was just the signs and wonders. It's just the other stuff. Okay, so I have to repeat that because people get caught up with, oh, the power. I want the power for what? You want the power for your own gain? All right, that's an issue. All right, that you do this to be a witness. You do this to spread the gospel. That is the point. What is the Jesus' final command, his commission, right? Go out into all the world and preach the gospel. That it all encapsulates why you need the power. So obviously they're waiting, Acts 1, right? They wait, and then finally they get their 12th seat filled. And then we went through the backstory here. We'll draw our timeline again here. From the top, Adam and Eve in the beginning there. Here's your fall. And then down the line here. Oh, well, I guess we'll kind of explain it really quick. Adam and Eve, right? Genesis 1 through 3, chapter 3, you have your fall. The fall, but then God says, okay, I'm going to fix this. Okay, so hold on. And then what do we have? We have the sons of God show up. We have the Noah incident. We have the flood. Okay, so he doesn't fix the Adam and Eve problem yet, but he fixes the problem that we have with Noah, the whole sons of God, all that stuff going on there. We get it fixed how? Well, we flood the earth, all right? Done. There you go. We deal with that. But then we have this other issue, Genesis 11. We'll write about there. We have that tower. And then we have a confusion of languages, right? That's a huge issue that really gets God so angry that, hey, I'm gonna ruin what you guys are doing. And that's where you have the displacement, right? The nations. Okay, that's the beginnings, according to Genesis 11. Genesis 10, interestingly enough, has your table of nations. So that's the entire world as they knew it, okay, in Genesis 10. So that's there. We have, down the line, we have Abraham. In fact, he'd be like right here, Abe, because that's like the next story, right? Abe, you get his call, and he gets a promise, right? There's a promise he receives. Of course, down the line, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, we're going to skip all them because they're all part of the story here. But then we have Moses. Now, this is interesting because now here's your law. And the law, in a nutshell, I would just call it God's mindset. You want to be perfect, try to keep the law. Good luck with that. But this holds you over. Here's your law, period, right? The Mosaic. Of course, we have Jeremiah. We have Isaiah, Ezekiel, you know, all the other books. Then we finally have about here, we'll say Malachi, because that's where we ended off, right? In our Old Testament. Okay, but we have our 400-ish years, right? God, it's not that God isn't there. There is no voice. 400-ish years. Then we have Jesus. And now we are about, let's just say about right there. Okay. We'll say Acts 2. Okay. And you guys remember the rest of the story. I might as well just put it because it's all in connection. I'm doing this because it all connects to what we're talking about. Here is church age and here goes all the way down. And here is, we'll say rapture. We're all gone. Christians are all gone. Rapture right there. And then about 7 years. And then there's your 1,000 years. And then finally, I'm going to put it down here. New heaven, new earth, as it says in Revelation. Okay, there you go. That's everything in a nutshell. But I wanted to put that up there because it all connects to what we're going to talk about here. Well, I guess we'll go backwards. And we talked about this last time. What was the issue? We went kind of backwards. You guys remember that last? I think it was last week, right? Malachi, what happens? Well, they're all doing what they want to do, basically. And then we just kind of track it all the way back. Still happening here. And then all the way back to even Noah's day, everyone does whatever's right in their own eye kind of idea. It takes it all the way back. And we stopped it right there at the tower because Acts 2, when it begins, I think it's interesting because the idea of Genesis 11, Tower of Babel, but backwards. That's the interesting part. So I'll really quick go through the top of Acts 2 here. We have Pentecost, right? We talked about that, Pentecost. There's your Feast of First Fruits, which is kind of ironic, right? Feast of First Fruits, something new's about to happen. So that's kind of interesting, right? So Feast of First Fruits, the key part about Pentecost, who cares for us as Christians today, but why you should care is because that's when all the Jews had to show up. That's an important piece to the puzzle here. Here's verse 2, suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, filled the entire house. Verse 3, divided tongues as of fire. Interesting kind of wording there, the wind, the fire. Again, just representing God. I just want to leave it at that. And people get weird with stuff like that. I want to say that. People get weird. Oh, the wind, oh, the fire. Remember when we talked about Nehushtan? You guys remember that? In a nutshell, in the end, who cares? That was the whole point. We went through the entire history of, oh, well, this is where it went. This is what happened. This is why they had it. You guys remember that? But in the end, what happens? You just destroy it. That's what God wants. Because who cares, all right? It's not about the Nehushtan. It's not about the, ooh, the fire. Ooh, the winds, okay? It's there. It's all representing God. Is it God? No, it's not. It's not. So we have rushing wind, divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. So it's an interesting thing now. We go Old Testament, where the Spirit is upon you, to now Spirit within. That's new. But I want you to see, it still correlates. Similar concept. It's not too far from what they already understand. I want to make that clear, because you hear people, oh, you don't need the Old Testament. No, I think you do. Now, to get saved, you don't. Okay, to get saved, to receive Jesus, no, you don't. But to understand the history, why do we do all this? Why does this Acts 2 even matter? Who cares about Pentecost? Well, it matters. It matters if you want to understand the whole picture. In my opinion, it makes you a much better Christian. You're a much more mature Christian because you understand the history of it. And if you don't know where you came from, how do you know where you're going? I think that's common sense, I think. So verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And we talked about speaking in tongues. Really quick, I'll touch on that again, but in 1 Corinthians, talks about there is actually another language that we don't understand. That's angelic tongue. We speak mysteries is how Paul says it. So there's definitely a tongue that is not of this world. Let's see here, verse 4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Just thinking about this today, side note. Well, wait a minute. Did the Spirit make them talk in tongues? Doesn't that violate free will? No. Why? Because tongues, you can start and stop as you will, okay? It doesn't violate free will, because to speak in tongues, to preach, to do anything for the Lord, you're inspired of Him. That means you are opening the doors, right? You allow Him to move within you. That goes for preaching, that goes for teaching, that goes for laying on of hands, and that goes for tongues. It's all encapsulated in the same thing, same concept. No, you're not possessed. See, that's the big difference. With Satan, possession can happen. God doesn't possess, all right? He'll use you, okay, but He only uses you to the capacity you allow Him to. Rarely he'll push to the limit, you know, he'll make some people go blind because it's that important for someone like Paul to listen, right? But not most people. He's not going to go that far because most people are not that important, all right? Boo-hoo. You know what's funny? I think churches are afraid to say stuff like that. Most people are not that important. How could you say that? It makes me less special. Well, if you know your place in God, you wouldn't care about me saying that. You understand, look, made in the image of God, man, that's a whole, can't get any more special than that. You're made in His image. You get to be, you have the privilege of being an extension of Him. And by receiving Jesus, right? You receive Jesus, man, you are definitely an extension of Him, right? We are the body, right? So anyway, yeah, I think that's a big issue in these days. I think people want that nice, sweet, make me feel special, make me feel warm and cuddly. Real life isn't like that. Real life is horrible. Man, you get out there and the world smashes you and then it doesn't care and it keeps going. It's life. That's life. Get used to it, right? Toughen up. Toughen up a little bit. That just goes to prove how much better you need to be connected to God. You must be connected to God because that world doesn't care. You guys know that. You guys have all experienced it. So toughen up. Toughen up. Anyway, verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. I highlighted that one. Every nation under heaven. It's a weird way to put it. And at the sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered. They were confused. It's the same concept as Genesis 11. The languages were confused. It's actually going the other way this time. They're bewildered. Why? Because they understand the language. That's what's weird about this. I'm only making this such a big deal because I want you to see that whatever issue has happened, God will handle it. God takes care of it. The Adam and Eve issue all the way up here, handled through Jesus. The flood, well, he kills, handled. The tower, it's handled here. It's handled right here in Acts. God doesn't let just anything just linger. No, he deals with it. Now, in his own time, but he deals with it. And this is another instance. I want you guys to see that. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all those who were speaking Galileans? And why do you say that? Because Galileans weren't that smart, apparently. All right, so they're not the smartest bunch there. Verse 8, and how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? So clearly they're speaking their language. Verse 9, 10, and 11, I put kind of like a little, almost like a bracket. You'll notice it's just a bunch of different names of places. Parthians and Medes and Elamites, or the different people, the residents of Mesopotamia. This would be an updated version of Genesis 10, the Table of Nations. Table of Nations, you'll have Japheth, and these are his sons, right? Ham, and these are his sons. Shem, and these are his sons. This is just the updated version of Acts 2, all right? That's what Luke did there. Otherwise, why would you list that? Because the floodgates have now opened. That's the most important piece of this moment here, is now the floodgates have opened. Well, I don't have to draw it, it's already right there. It all begins here. This is where we left off. Verse 12, and all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they're filled with new wine. So isn't that funny? These guys are speaking in different languages, but they think they're drunk. That doesn't even make any sense, right? I mean, if you're speaking a language that other people understand, why would you call them drunk? Kind of interesting. That's interesting. Here you are doing God's will, and look at you. You're going to be considered a drunkard, right? These guys are filled with new wine. Anyway, but Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Now, who is he talking to? Here it tells you right here. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem. I point that out because we're not talking Gentiles yet. So people get excited. Oh, it's the New Testament. It's Acts. It's the Gentiles. Well, kind of. Not yet. Not yet, though. Okay, I want you guys to see that. We're still dealing with the Jews, all right? Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. So get over it, guys. Not drunk, okay? But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. So let's go to Joel really quick. Well, maybe not quick. I don't know. Let's see. Let's get the concept of Joel really quick here, and then we can go back to Acts. Now, you guys remember the Ezekiel and Jeremiah and I will put a new spirit in you, all that. You guys remember that? We went over that a couple weeks ago. So we're seeing that happen, okay? But now here he is quoting Joel. So Joel, just chapter 1, and we'll just kind of gloss over some of these things. Verse 2, he says, hear this, you elders, give ear, all inhabitants of the land. So the elders of Judah, all right? Just keep that in mind. Has such a thing happened in your days or in the days of your fathers? Tell your children of it and let your children tell their children and their children to another generation what the cutting locust left, the swarming locust has eaten, what the swarming locust left, the hopping locust has eaten, and what the hopping locust left, the destroying locust has eaten. Like it's like worse upon worse upon worse upon worse. Awake, you drunkards, and weep and wail, all you drinkers of wine, because of the sweet wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation has come up against my land, powerful and beyond number. Its teeth are like our lion's teeth, and it has the fangs of a lioness. It has laid waste my vine and splintering my fig tree. So far, good story, happy story. Nope. Sounds horrible. Verse 8. Lament like a virgin wearing sackcloth for the bridegroom of her youth. Like, that is pretty low, man. That's a horrible line there. I mean, that's a sad line, is what I mean. Verse 9, the grain offering and the drink offering are cut off from the house of the Lord. Jeez, man, everything's just cut off. Why? Because it's destroyed. It's the whole idea is it's all destroyed. It's all to ruin here. The priests mourn, the ministers of the Lord. Why are they mourning? It's all falling apart. Everything's falling apart. It's not just the land, the teaching, the ministry, if you will. It's all gone. It's all falling apart. The fields are destroyed. The grounds mourn because the grain is destroyed. The wine dries up. The oil languishes. And I mean, I guess you can kind of go analogy there. Or the oil, what does oil represent? The anointing. Man, it's all gone. Forget it. It's all ruined, okay? Be ashamed, O tillers of the soil. Wail, O vine dressers, for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field has perished. The vine dries up. The fig tree languishes. Pomegranate, palm, and apple. Everything, right? You guys see that? Gladness dries up from the children of men. There is, geez, I mean, that's horrible. Put on sackcloth and lament. Go and cry, man. It's that bad. Go, just go, oh priest, look who he's talking to. Wail, oh ministers of the altar, go in. Imagine going in and saying that to the priest. Geez, go and cry, man. It's you guys are hopeless. You guys are all hopeless. You're done. You got nothing left. It's all destroyed, everything. Go and pass the night in sackcloth, oh ministers of my God. Because grain offerings and drink offerings are withheld from the house of your God, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. Alas for the day of the Lord is near. And as destruction from Almighty, it comes. So God's going to do something, isn't he? Is not the food cut off before our eyes, joy and gladness in the house of our God? So I just want you guys to see the story here. Verse 19, to you, O Lord, I call, for fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and flame has burned all the trees of the field. Even the beasts of the field pant for you, because the water brooks are dried up. Jeez, man, I can't even get any water here. Chapter 2, verse 1, blow a trumpet in Zion. Well, what's the idea? Why would you blow trumpets? Because it's fun? No. Calling to assembly, it's like, or an alarm, right? There's a problem, right? The sirens are going off. Well, there it is, sound alarm. On my holy mountain, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. So there's this day of the Lord coming. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Like blackness there is spread upon the mountains. A great and powerful people, their like has never been before, nor will be again after them through the years of all generations. Fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, but behind them a desolate wilderness. Have you guys gotten any good news yet so far? Here's chapter 2 already. It's a horrible story. Good luck selling this story, Joel. Speaking of good news, right? We were just talking about feeling special. This is the word of the Lord. This is part of what God is saying. Why would God be so mean? Why is he... No, this is truth. You guys are messing up. That's why you're getting devoured. You guys aren't doing things my way. That's why you're falling apart. All right? And it gets worse. And it gets worse and worse, doesn't it? Oh, by the way, priests, imagine if the word of the Lord came today, right? Hey, pastors, all the churches in, I don't know, America, right? All of you guys start weeping, all right? Because it's all messed up. It's all messed up. Verse 5, as with the rumbling of chariots that leap on the tops of the mountains, like the crackling of a flame of fire devouring the stubble, like a powerful army drawn up for battle. Before them, peoples are in anguish. All faces grow pale. Like warriors, they charge. Like soldiers, they scale the wall. They march each on his way. They do not swerve from their paths. They do not jostle one another. Each marches in his path. So not only is it all falling apart, now we got people who are destroying us. Verse 10, the earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble. Sun and the moon are darkened. So that's getting worse and worse, isn't it? Wait a minute. I don't know if we've ever seen something like that. Verse 12, yet even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for his gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him. Now, notice this is another moment of God where you see that justice side, but you also see that mercy side. Man, if you just turn, man, if you just turn, all right, we're going to be okay. We can make this work, but you got to turn, all right? It's a big thing with God, repentance. You've got to turn. No, people don't want to hear that anymore. People don't want to hear repent. People don't want to hear, look, you got to change your ways. I deal with that all day. Some people, sometimes, come into counseling not because they don't know what to do. It's the craziest thing. They know what to do. They just won't do it. They're not willing to repent. In some cases, I have to tell them to their face, look, you already know what to do. I won't even charge you. You know why? Because you already know what to do. Just go do it. That's all you got to do. Now go do it. People don't want to do it. People don't want change sometimes. They don't want to repent. All right? Unfortunately, if it's not God, life will deal with them accordingly. That's just the way life is. Same thing is happening in Joel. And well, I think you guys know the story, but some of this isn't that day. Some of this is coming. Does that make sense? So that's the weird thing about Joel. It's not all that day. It's not all that what's happening that time period. Some of it is, some of it isn't. And let's just keep reading here. Okay, so you guys stayed in Joel 2:28. And I'm going to go to Acts, okay, because this is where Peter's quoting from. Now, I read all that so you understand what Peter is thinking. Why would he even use these verses? All right. So clearly, Peter, I mean, the Jews, generally speaking, they're going to know these verses. If, you know, if they haven't memorized them, they know these verses. Okay. So this is what he's thinking. Okay. Oh my gosh. Anguish. All this stuff has happened. 400 years. No voice of God. I mean, it's already bad. Oh my gosh. We've already been conquered. Right. That's what he's thinking. And then lo and behold, here I'm going to go to Acts. I'll read it, but you guys stay there because I want you guys to see what it says there and what it says in Acts. Okay, so here's verse 16 in Acts. You guys are in 28. So he says, but this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. Here it is. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will put out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Okay, stop there. That's just one verse. What's he doing? What is Peter thinking? Now, he's not the smartest guy, but I don't think he's the dumbest guy either. But man, he makes a lot of mistakes. All right? Okay, keep that in mind. Why did he just start there? Well, what did he just experience? We just got done talking about it. He saw the Spirit fall. He sees all this happening. He's seeing people prophesy. He's experiencing some of this. He just equated what happened there in Joel to what they just experienced with the Spirit falling. That's what they're thinking, because they just went through something hellish, right? Now with God showing up, it's as hellish anymore. I just experienced Jesus. So he says, in the last days it shall be, God declares that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now this is interesting because, well, I don't really see anything that says anyone had any visions or any dreams, but I still think he's thinking it's all, oh my gosh, Joel is actually happening right now, man. It's happening. The Spirit fell and everything, and it's on all flesh that I know of. Do you see? All these people came from everywhere, from all over the place, and the Spirit has fallen on all flesh. And your young men shall dream dreams, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. See, it's happening, guys. That's why he starts off with this. See, it's happening. It's actually happening. All right? And verse 19, here's where it gets weird. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the days of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. But wait a minute, Peter. Now we can look back and say, well, that didn't happen, Peter. Why'd you quote that? What were you thinking? Think about it. The guy's in the moment. He's thinking, oh my gosh, the Spirit just fell. All this is happening. It's that. It's actually happening, guys. Can you believe it? That's all it is. That's what he's doing. He thinks it's all going to happen right now. He just saw the Spirit fall. This. He doesn't know there's a piece missing. That's this piece, the church age. He doesn't know that part. So it's funny because the first two verses works well. Two or three verses works okay. It's all right. It's pretty, even though the dreams. I'll let it slide. But the next part's like, what the heck? That didn't happen. Remember, Paul, Peter, all these guys, they all thought Jesus was coming in their generation. So they think it's all going to happen. And can you blame the guy? It's all the same chapter. It's all the same verses. So we can't blame the guy. But I love that it's in there because it just shows the imperfection of them. It shows that even though they didn't get the whole story right, it was good enough. It was good enough, and God can use good enough. That's encouraging, at least for me. He'll use me. It's good enough. Does that mean? He'll use you. You're good enough. All right. Be encouraged in that. You're good enough. Even if you don't get the whole story right, not a single one of us, me included, we're not going to get the whole story. We're not going to preach perfectly. We're not going to pray for people perfectly, but it's good enough. All right. So God's okay with that. His good enough is way better than anything else. Perfect. Perfect on earth is not even close to good enough for God. Does that make sense? All right. So I'll show you wonders in the heavens above and the signs of the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. That hadn't happened. We can look back and say, oh, Peter, man, that didn't happen, dude. All he's doing, he's just recalling, I thought this was going to happen right now. Paul thought that too. Why do you think everyone's like in such a hurry to get this message all the way out? Now, the whole thing is we have to get this message all the way out. Everyone has to hear about this, right? Because Jesus is coming. I think God used that. He used that to his advantage. He's smart. God knows what he's doing. That's all that's happening. So let's see. It should come to pass. Are you guys still in Joel? I hope you guys are following with me here, because I want you guys to see something here. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it stops there in Acts. I think that's the last verse of Joel, right? So I'm reading Joel 2:32, because this is where Peter ends. It says, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." But this is the part he leaves out. "For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls." That just tells you this message is for that period, that seven-year period. I don't know why I didn't say that part. I don't know, got excited? I don't know. You fill in the blank. So half of it applies, but the other half doesn't. You'll see that sometimes in the Old Testament. It'll be talking about this is happening, and then totally skip the church age and then talk about the end. You're like, whoa, wow, what was a mystery? The church was a mystery. It wasn't supposed to be revealed yet. I'll even argue this. I don't know if I'm convinced of this, but I'll even argue this. Maybe the church age wasn't supposed to happen, because think about it. It was all supposed to be for the Jews, right? Jesus came for the house of Israel. Thank God they messed up, all right? Was that the part of the plans? I can't say. I hope it was. That's what opened it up to the Gentiles, because they rejected it. We talked about that in Romans, right? Paul talks about it. We're grafted in, right? So we're not a part of the original bunch, right? But we're grafted in. Good enough. I'll take it, all right? I want you guys to see the end of Joel. It's all for the Jews. Mount Zion means nothing to me as a Gentile. That doesn't do anything for me. All that to say, who he's talking to is what? The Jews. And this message he's talking about now is for the Jews, okay? I'm back in Acts now, chapter 2. In verse 21, he says, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." He leaves off that end part. Verse 22, "Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth," Jesus right there is a first mention, by the way, "man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it." I'm going to pause there, but notice how he connects the whole story. He gives you the Joel story over here, Acts 2, thinking it's about to happen. But here's your connection, man. If it wasn't for Jesus, we wouldn't have this whole spirit thing fall on us, right? Like you just saw. Everyone just saw, right? You guys all just saw it? You know, that's what he's thinking. So he thinks this will connect to this. The Acts 2 will connect to the 7 years. Well, they don't understand it as 7 years, but they think that it's the end. We're here. Can't blame the guy, all right? The guy's a Jew, right? What do you expect? It's okay. It's all right. But just know the difference, all right? Just know the difference. In my Bible, I put like a bracket around like the first two or three verses, and then another bracket around the rest of that part. The first part is, it's all right, and the second part is, not yet, all right? So a heads up just for you, just in case that can be confusing. Another thing to this is, look, it was appropriate. People understood. That's the beauty of God. God is perfect, but us, it doesn't have to be. It worked out, all right? It was okay, all right? The message happened, it worked, wasn't accurate, but that's okay, all right? So, and guess what? We're going to do the same thing too. I'm sure if I have, I know I have, and I know I will have inaccurate, you know, messages or something I'll be off on. And I'm sure tons of times I get, what do I do? Ezekiel and Isaiah, I always get the names mixed up. I don't know why. Still happens to this day. It's okay. It's all right. It's good enough to get God's job done. So,
thank you for listening to today's message. 2 Corinthians 9:7 tells us that each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. If this message has been a blessing to you, we ask that you be a cheerful giver to this ministry by going to finallyalive.com/give. We'll meet you again next time as we grow together and learn to be finally alive in Christ.